Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. I want to talk about getting investment capital. You know, small business capital comes from three primary sources. You've heard me say this before. Profits, one is profits left in the business, that's retained earnings. Two is debt, like a bank loan. And three is money that you get from investors. Now, that investor might be you. Might be Uncle Charles or Aunt Sally. Or it might be an angel investor. Or it might be, which Uncle Charles and Aunt Sally could be considered to be that. Or it might be a venture capital firm. Some of you out there may have a venture capital relationship in your future. Well, the challenge for us as small business owners, and we all have all three of those. Whether you realize it or not, we all have all three of those. Because when you start your business, if you got a teeny tiny little business, it had expenses at the beginning before it had customers and sales. So somebody put something in there. If it was only $2, there was an investment made, and that was probably made by you. So we have all three of those: profits left in the business, which is retained earnings; debt, which you borrow from the bank, and that could be a bank loan or it could be a credit card situation. The challenge for us is to blend the right amount of each source into our capitalization plan. It's very important that we understand how to use each one of those three different sources of capital in the right way. You can use profits incorrectly. You can use bank debt incorrectly. You can use venture capital money or investment money incorrectly. The key is to know how to blend them together. Now, that third source, investment capital, in the last several years, as you know, has the acceptance has increased among small business owners as well as investors. And many elements of finding and acquiring investor capital are similar to getting a bank loan. But the investor process is much longer, and it's a lot more complex. So let's talk about some common mistakes that entrepreneurs make when they're searching for investment capital. Here's one. This is a mistake. Using an investor search that's too broad. Each investment firm, as you will find out, has a strategy that fits its interest. They're focusing on a certain thing. An investor that likes medical ventures won't be a prospect for your retail franchise idea. Qualifying each investor prospect before making contact will absolutely improve your search efficiency, and it'll cut down on the time that it takes. And so here's one of the best places to go to see what I'm talking about. You can actually see it in front of your very eyes. And that is, go to SBA.gov. And look under, the link probably says, I don't have it in front of me, the link probably says capitalizing your business. And in there, if you'll just look around in there, you'll find a link to the investment firms, the SBICs, the small business investment companies, I believe is the term, what the term means, SBICs. These are people that are associated with, who are associated with the SBA. They're not funded by the SBA. They're just sort of chartered by the SBA. And they have venture capital to loan or to invest. You can get loans, or you can also get equity capital where they actually become an owner of your company, or you can get a combination thereof. Now, this money is not hanging off of trees where you just go and pick it. This is just where you can find where these people are. And in that list, what you'll see is the name of the company, their address, phone number, all that stuff. But then it will say what they're interested in. And this company will be interested in retail. This company will be interested in healthcare. This company will be interested in manufacturing. Another company will be interested in technology. One company will say that they're not interested in startups. Another company will say that they are interested. They will consider startups. They'll talk about how the size of their transactions, maybe as low as $50,000, $25,000, typically not even lower, most of the time probably not even lower than $50,000. Sometimes it'll be 100,000. Sometimes it'll be 5 million. That's the lowest that they'll get involved with. So my point is, if there are hundreds and hundreds of SBICs, and there are, if you put together packages for all of them, you're wasting a lot of time and a lot of money, not only yours but theirs, because all of those people aren't prospects for you. So you go through the list, when you talk to a venture capital firm, before you send them anything, make sure you find out what they're doing, what their focus is, what their strategy is. I mean, think about this. If you were going to look for a job, and you knew you had skills in one certain area, and that's the business you wanted to be in, that's the job kind of work that you wanted, you wouldn't go call on somebody in a totally different industry and ask them to hire you to do what you know how to do. That would be silly, wouldn't it? I think it's the same thing with venture capitalists. Okay, second mistake, misjudging the time involved. As you know, Murphy's Law states that everything will take longer than you thought. And Murphy is alive and well in the investment marketplace. It usually takes months, not weeks, to find, approach, and get an answer from investors. And remember, just like your prayers, sometimes the answer is no. And still, it can take weeks to get that no answer. So don't misjudge the time. And the reason that this is important to understand is because if you know you're going to need the money in December, don't wait until November to start looking for the money. I mean, it could take a year, who knows, just to get an answer. This is a long process, believe it or not, folks. Now, it can happen quicker, but don't count on it. That's the key. All right, third mistake, falling in love with your business plan. Every mother's baby is beautiful, but your plan is not your investor prospect's baby. You have to learn to accept that your business plan will likely have to be adjusted in some way before you get funding. If somebody's going to give you money for your business, the odds of you creating a business plan that will fit them perfectly and they'll think is wonderful and they won't want to change a thing, the odds of that happening are zero. Zero. It won't happen. Absolutely, you'll have to make some adjustments. If you fall in love with your plan, you'll be too rigid and you'll turn off the investors and you won't get the money. So think about that. I'll take a quick break. I got more mistakes to come right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And if you want to find out more about seeking investors and knowing how to do the right thing, there are articles on the website that you can find. Just go there and do a search if you want to, or go into there's a financing and banking section there in the archives and the articles that you can noodle around in and find what you need. I think you'll find quite a few things there. Not only some things that I've written, but others have written, and also some archives of shows that we've conducted in the past on this topic. So if you want to go back and do a little more research, a little more homework on that, then you can do that at my website, jbsba.com. Let's talk about another mistake that people make when they're searching for investment capital, especially with venture capital firms. Here's a fourth mistake. Taking your financial projections too seriously. First, we have to establish the prime rule of investment evaluation. Now, listen to this. This is going to be on the test. All projections are wrong. That's a truism, folks. That's a fact. When you're seeking investors, you're going to need to create projections. They're going to want to know what you think this business is going to do over the next 5 years, let's say. 3 to 5 years, probably more like five. You can even go out further if you want. But typically at least three and no more than 5 years. So you've got to project. They've got to see what you're thinking about. They've got to see what you think this is going to, their business is going to do, so they know whether, you know, whether your projections even have a chance of paying them back their money and plus a nice return. So you got to do the projections, but the truth is all projections are wrong. You're not going to be able to get them right. So here's the key, I think. You show more than one set of projections. You have more than one. I'd say at least two. One of them is the projection that you believe you can do. This is called the realistic projection. That's what I call it. This is not your Christmas list. This is not what happens if the most, you know, if you have all the luck in the world. This is what you reasonably can back up with your research and what you think the business will do. That's one. That's the good one. And then give them another projection. And I call this the conservative set. This is the one that shows how bad things have to get. But you can still break even. You still don't need more cash. In other words, it would be something like, this is what we think we can do, but if sales are off by 25%, here's how long we can last with the money that we're asking you for. Here's how long we can last with that money, even if sales are off by 20% or 30% or whatever it might be. And you show them in that projection, that conservative projection, okay, if this happens, if sales are off by that much, we'll make these adjustments in expenses, and that'll allow us to. And so what this does, and this, folks, this is also a very good thing to do when you're getting a bank loan. People who are going to put money in your business, whether it be a banker or an investor, want to know that you're not just some Pollyanna out here who doesn't understand that sometimes things don't work as well as you thought. So if you can give them two sets of projections, one that shows what you think you can do, one that shows the conservative approach, then I think you'll be enlightened about the numbers. It'll be an education process for you. It'll also demonstrate to the people who you want to give them, going to give you the money, that you're not some starry-eyed kid. You understand what may happen, and you're prepared to take the steps necessary to make sure that this business is successful. All right, let's get another mistake in here. 5, confusing product development with sales developments. Investors love real customers and real sales. They love those. However, even projections based on history, if you have history, even those projections will be highly scrutinized. But sales projections based on projected products will be highly doubted. So, if you don't have any history, if you're talking about getting money from an investor on a business that's never done business before, you're going to have to do an awful lot of research. You're going to have to demonstrate an awful lot of a very compelling story to get that investment capital. I'm not saying it can't be done. In the 90s, it was money like that was given away, but it's not like that anymore. It can be done. It just takes a lot of extra work. One more mistake. Failing to recognize the importance of the management team. Remember this, folks. This will be on the test, too. A good management team can fix a bad plan, but a bad team can ruin a good plan. Unless you're asking investors to also contribute management expertise, which is not unusual, don't seek investor capital without being able to demonstrate to them that you have a qualified management team. Write this on a rock, folks. The most valuable lessons are learned from mistakes. Be sure to make your own mistakes, not the ones I've just told you about. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Mark Mayberry. After these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
First thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets of running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.